Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
I think I better start over.
Yeah, it was bad, Liz. It was every 20 words.
Yeah.
You couldn't make any of it out.
All right, let's start over.
Is there anything on your end?
No, we've been losing power all day long today. So off, for a microsecond. So it doesn't have anything to do with the internet. It has to do with the power.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Start again.
Here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2. The question for today is, how do you awaken? How do you have a spiritual awakening, an awareness awakening, without the collapse? How do you survive seeing more without crashing your whole life? Because the truth is that oftentimes awakening breaks people. They start chasing angels or demons or endless synchronicities or manifestations or astrology or tarot or past lives until they lose their jobs, their family, their sanity, their financial life goes straight to hell. But the truth is, it does not have to be this way, and that people are not really destroyed by the awakening or what they see, that the new paranormal reality. They're destroyed because they haven't learned how to hold it, how to integrate it, and how to create a resource in their life. They haven't learned how to see more without collapsing into paranoia, dogma, or even despair. So this is a big topic, isn't it, Bill McKenna?
Well, it's so big, and there's so much that people experience. Oftentimes you might think that a spiritual awakening would be one of bliss, and sometimes, actually, it's the dark night of the soul, and it's depressing and filled with despair, and also confusion, not understanding. Not only not understanding what the hell's going on in my body, am I crazy? I'm seeing these things, I'm hearing these things that, sound a lot like mental illness. And these things also are outside the scope of the family you came from and what they believe in. And it's conflicted with your previous beliefs, and it could be just generally scary as well. Like, did I cause that? Did I cause an external event to happen?
Yeah.
I don't want to know. There's other people who all of a sudden know what's going to happen to somebody, like, oh my God, this person in your life's going to die, and or you're going to die. They're like, they can see it before, the person's all happy and having a good time. You're like, oh my God, they only got 24 hours left.
So Bill, let's dig into this a little deeper. This is one of my biggest pet peeves, is the dark night of the soul. So let's talk about what that feels like to people and why it's described that way, and why people think they have to go through it. Like, it is, absolutely necessary to go through this to get to a place of awakening.
Gosh, I don't know that everyone believes that you have to go through it. There are some people that have said that, though. that
Yeah, it's a
then
big
just
popular
it's
belief.
a it's like, oh, this is part of the program here, you know. But every awakening is really a personal journey, that certainly the very nature of it is going to break down previous beliefs and ways of life. You may not sleep the same. You may not eat the same foods anymore, or find the same old activities that used to bring joy now seem so boring and so like that's stupid to do that, you know, whatever that was. So when that type of thing happens, you can find yourself, you know, being somebody that your family starts not to like invite you or want to be around. Or the other side of it, you know, could be that you're in such a disconnected state that the mundane, ordinary things of life, like tending to the garden, you know, making sure the plants are watered, making sure that all the bills are paid, paying attention to your body and your health. These are all things that for many people just go by the wayside. It's like the feeling of my body no longer matters. You know, there's so many different things that people go through that it doesn't need to be as extreme, but it's their path, and there's no really good way that they can process what's happening to them. And very few people, you know, who have been there, who can truly understand and guide them through to the next step in the journey.
Yeah, here's what it really is. It's a form of suffering. And there is a big belief system that it's a rite of passage, that once you have your awakening, that you need to start separating yourself from the rest of the world. And this is rooted in religion. It is rooted in the religious belief that you must suffer to be purified, that you must suffer to get to heaven, that you must suffer and start to separate yourself from society. So a person will have an awakening, meaning a glimpse into the natural world that they had not seen before. A psychic ability, like you said, a healing ability, many of these kinds of things, a UFO sighting, an NDE, a near-death experience might happen to them. And then comes this awareness that I'm something other than everyone else around me thinks I am, right? I have this deep, dark secret. And the suffering process begins with, what do I do with this? Who do I have to hide it from? If I dive into it and become more of this, do I need to lose my family? Move away. I shared that I had this belief for a while. To be who I really am, I would need to probably go off to some corner of Tibet where no one knew me because I was afraid of my family knowing what I really am. The truth is, I wasn't hiding from anyone. They all knew, right? But, I was raised in a religious family that a lot of those things were not okay. The truth is, they did know anyway. But there's also this belief that now I know something more, and everybody around me needs to know it too. This demographic of women from 35 to about 55 who start to have spiritual awakening or just awakening in general to new awareness are one of the highest groups that get divorced because they believe that their husband needs to grow with them at the same rate. And they start to try to talk about these things and insist that people see their way of thinking, have the awakening that they had, where eventually they believe that the husband just can't change with them, so the marriage is over. Misunderstanding that for each person, it's very personal. It's very personal becoming who you came to the planet to be. So I think there's these misunderstandings, and that leads to the suffering that is called the dark night of the soul. And it absolutely does not have to be like that at all. What it really is a nervous system that doesn't know how to handle new information. It doesn't know how to regulate itself. It's kind of that simple, isn't it?
Well, it's that simple. However, the experience certainly doesn't feel like
true.
You know, the many people, it used to be like something no one would talk about, a near-death experience where, you know, you died on the operating table or you got in an accident, you banged it up, and all of a sudden, beep, and you're out, you're in the tunnel of light, you're up there, and you're there, and you're seeing your life, everything that happened in your life, not only the other people in your life, but actually you become them and experience life through their eyes and interfacing with you. And so you're them, you're you. And here you are, you know, all of a sudden, many of them are like, hey, psh, you, not quite your time. You got to go back. And it's like, no, I don't want to go back. Yes, you have to go back. No, I don't want to. Bam, you're back in your body. And now that you're back in your body, and most often in pain, you have an experience of a heightened awareness. And that heightened awareness, you can imagine going from, I'm an independent person. I'm just me, little old Billy, from down the street, who's eating his own tacos, having his own feelings, too, feeling what everybody else feels. You know, the mailman that comes to the door and what happened to him yesterday and his thoughts and his feelings. And you're all of a sudden you're him and you're feeling it and the sadness. And then there's, oh my God, then there's the other person who's going down the street and they're, you know, something's happening with them. And it's like, oh my God, I'm feeling everything from everywhere. And it's overwhelming. And it's not even my thoughts. I'm going crazy. And it's just way, way, way too much. So not only that, but it's coupled with all of a sudden seeing more, seeing the energy that's around people, the auric field, or their sense of smell height, and so many things that all of a sudden get opened up. And it's basically going from a normal existence of just enjoying tacos and Coca-Cola to and forced into an alternate reality. And with this, you know, one might even experience like other beings, because you're in between kind of those, you know, those levels of consciousness where, you know, now you can see other energies and beings that just are phased out slightly from what we could see before when we were eating tacos and drinking Coca-Cola. And so this is absolutely positively overwhelming. And you know, I had the good fortune of working up and down the coast with the International Association for Near-Death Studies, IANDS, INDS. And it's, you know, for a few bucks, you know, I think it's pretty much once a week, I think Saturdays, in pretty much every town, you know, somewhere close to you, somewhere on the globe, you can go find a meeting and join their meeting. You pay and the, so you get some snacks or whatever. But the people there, you'll see there's the looky-loos who just want to look, like these people are special, but they are distraught. They are having a hard time. And those hard times, they don't feel understood. Because, for example, one of them, guy that I worked with, he was like, his daughter died. He died and they kicked him out. Hey, get back in your body. So he's here. He's left here. And then not long after having his near-death experience and his awakening, his daughter died. And because of his experience, because of his being able to see energy, because he knew that you never die, because he had been over there and experienced the bliss of being on the other side and then being back here, no one understood his reaction to the loss of his daughter. He was confiding in me, listen, I can't talk to anybody about this. They don't understand how I'm happy for her, how I don't have the type of feelings that everybody else does. It's almost like, the perfect suspect for a murder, right? It's like, oh, that guy must be guilty because they're not grieving like other people grieve or would be, you would think. So this, they are not neurologically regulated. And how could they be? The amount of voltage that's going through their body, what they're experiencing, there's no good solution in the past for that type of experience other than just, muscle your way through it. A lot of them are so depressed. And they're depressed because they just want to go back. Anyway, it's time. We got to take our break. And for those of you who are interested in learning more, cognomovement.com, cognomovement.com. And we'll be right back after our sponsor.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we are back. And you were talking, Bill, about people who've had an NDE and how they are living. They've experienced a new reality, and some people start living in a new reality. And I think that is the real truth of it. That's what it feels like. And the reason it feels like a new reality and not just an expansion of, you know, we just know a little more now, I think is because of the programming we've had from society, from religion, from all kinds of things that tell us that anything outside of this very narrow purview is weird or the unexplained or paranormal or evil, right? So many of those things. So when you've had an experience where you've seen more of reality and you can't necessarily put it into words or fit it into that small window of what you're supposed to know, then it really does feel like suffering. I think for some people, it feels like having your clothes too tight all the time, right? It feels like a disconnect from the life that you knew. So there is grief that happens within that. And, you know, in my office, I actually get these people all the time who are grieving and suffering because they do have an awakening. They do have an awareness. They know there's more to life. They know there's more to this reality. And they come and they have this very kind of a meek approach. And they'll say in a quiet voice, you know, I know this might seem weird, but I think you might understand me. And this happened to me. You know, I'm seeing beings, levitating, I'm psychic. I mean, the full range of things. And I'm wondering if that makes me weird. I'm wondering if what I'm supposed to do with it, what is my purpose? And a whole lot of the suffering comes from that purpose question. This happened to me, so doesn't it mean that I'm supposed to do something more in my life, something more important? This is where this idea of I've got to let go of my whole family, I've got to let go of my job, I've got to live in India, you know, and be a monk for the rest of my life, that there's this separation that happens between everything you know and what you think that is supposed to mean. So the first thing I always do is say, you're absolutely normal. You're not outside. There's millions of people on the planet who have had this experience. What we need to do is get your nervous system regulated around it and also begin to find you a community that you can talk to freely about this. Just like you're suggesting, Bill, with the IANs, right? Finding people who just understand what you're saying really helps to support you in knowing that you're not alone in this experience.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good point, is having a community that you can talk to. Other people have been through it, or at least can at least get some sort of understanding or not judge you because you're going through these experiences.
It's so true. You know, this is one thing, if I can brag on our Cogno Movement practitioner community just for a minute. We have people from every walk of life, you know, every color, every flavor, every ethnic group, every financial group. And then on top of that, people who have every kind of gift you can imagine. These are a group of magical people. Bill says all the time that they're saints. But if you met them on the street, they look like normal, everyday teachers and lawyers and therapists and all kinds of things, moms. But the thing that makes them so special in this group, they say they found their family. They found their family. They can talk about all of this in a way that is very safe because no one's trying to recruit them into a cult. No one's trying to recruit them into a religion. Everyone understands and celebrates, oh, You're having an experience of an expanded reality. Fantastic. And everyone is welcomed at whatever level they are learning at. And I would like to say whatever level you're learning through. I've been studying Itzhak Bentov quite a bit lately. And one of the things I love that he says is that whenever he made a new discovery, he would say he was even more ignorant. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that it spurred 1,000 new questions. And that's how I felt about my own journey. You discover something, it feels so great. And then it spurs 1,000 more questions. It's never the end, that experience you have. It's never the end. It's the beginning to a whole new world. You know, there's that song, A Whole New World. It's just like that. And you start again with all new questions. You're learning through and then through again and then through the next way. And I think if people could understand that piece of it alone, it would help take that suffering piece out or soften it a bit.
Yeah. That is really good. Really good point. And you know, this kind of goes along with kind of the onion, or maybe there's some other better way of putting it, but there's no ultimate truth, that the truth is constantly, changing if you are.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have very fixed and rigid beliefs, then yes, the truth is absolute. And if you're someone that is interested in evolving, then your truth, in fact, will change. There was one teacher that I had run into that had all this incredible knowledge. And I asked, why don't you write a book? You know, you got to write a book before you die. Got to get this down. And the answer? No, I'm not going to do it. I haven't done it because time has proven that what I think is the truth, you know, 20 years ago, I think is stupid today.
Yeah.
I grew that much. You know, I guess stupid may be maybe not really the good way to put it. It's just a limited understanding. It's simply limited. And this, knowing that, and the way you put it, Liz, is the learning through. It's okay. Yeah, and there's more. Yet there's more.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so funny because that's what Itzhak Bentov said in his book, because he didn't want to write the book either, because he has 1,000 new ideas a day, right? And he said, if I write it now, 2 years from now, all that new stuff won't be in there. So what he writes in the opening of this book is that he's writing from his current level of ignorance, which I love. Now, ignorance, if you don't understand what that means, it doesn't mean stupidity. What it means is lack of knowledge. I'm writing from the point in time in which I have a lack of knowledge about everything else I'm going to learn, you know, in the next 5 years, right? So just lack of information. And he knew that he was writing from his current level of lack of information, but he had all kinds of information. This is what's exciting about what we do, Bill, is that it comes from that angle. We have had such amazing, amazing discoveries about how the brain and the body talk to itself, how neural patterns get formed and broken. And we'll think, wow, this has to be the end all. Until 5 minutes later, it's not.
Yeah.
I had somebody ask me the other day, how'd you come up with this stuff? And I said, well, we have really weird brains. We are constantly asking the question, what else is possible? So back to our conversation about spiritual awakening, and not letting it ruin your life. This is one way not to let it ruin your life. If you are stuck in a modality or an idea that is not progressing, you know, like an ancient text that some of us may all know, or many of those ancient texts, and instead of learning through it, getting the information, learning through it, knowing that there's more, but getting stuck in that one rigid way of thinking, it's got to be this way, it's got to be done this way, it's got to be spoken this way, it's got to be acted this way. If you are stuck in that, you are stuck in a current level of ignorance forever. The way to stop that suffering is to know that, okay, this is part of my education. I'm going to learn through it. This is one of my stepping stones, one of the pieces in my ladder. And I think the people that I see in my office who are suffering around this subject, the biggest thing they're suffering about is purpose. What do I do with it? But also the lack of understanding that you are on a ladder of learning and exploration, discovery, right? It's exciting to discover new things. So in that place, just let yourself ask more questions. Find a community that loves to ask more questions, that is willing to simply have the conversation without dogma. That's an important part, don't you think?
Well, that's a very, very important part of it, is having that openness without the dogma. The dogma is all about just limiting you. And you know, I always like to say that the brightest people that I've ever met, they all have one thing in common. And that is they're willing to explore, they're willing to educate, they're willing to change their mind when there's a bigger, better deal. You know, the bigger, better understanding, the exposing of a falsehood. And it's like, ah, well, at one point, I believe that, but I see a new point of view. And on the other side of things, the people that I've found the most limited are the ones that will hold on to a fixed and rigid belief at all cost, and they will ignore new information, ignore the facts, you know, that have now been presented, because it's too painful for them to change their mind. It's literally neurological. You know, you have to have a new circuit in your brain for this new information. Don't want to do that. So the value of it is what I would call quality of life, just simple quality of life.
Yeah, it is 100% true. And if what you're learning does not add to your quality of life, that's a red flag. So if you guys are loving this content, please give us a like on whatever platform that you are watching or listening on. And if it's possible on that platform, please subscribe. It really helps the channel. And if you're willing to share this with someone who needs it today, you will be doing them and us a great service. Let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. Speaking of good service.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back and we're talking about how to prevent a spiritual awakening, an awareness awakening from collapsing your life. And we're talking about building community, finding somebody who will have the conversation with you. We're talking about getting yourself in a physical state of more neutrality and out of the state of fight or flight and excitement around an idea so you can learn and figure out how to implement it in your life, how to have it become a part of the life you're already living. So let's talk about the mechanics of this stuff, Bill. One of the things that we know and that science has proven out recently is that what causes the ability to see more of the light spectrum, you know, we can only see 1%, what's hiding in the other 99 is likely what we see when we have these great awakening experiences. And then there's the aspects of what the physical body can actually do, like healing energy, like the dematerializing, all these kinds of things that are part of our natural world, but are outside of our current paradigm, all are a part of having more brain connectivity, having more of what's called hyperconnectivity. And what that means is more parts of the brain are talking to each other, not just one part or the other looking through that lens, but the whole brain, the whole nervous system being able to send and receive and translate information. That's what's actually happening. And now with all these amazing machines that we have that can see in different light spectrums, see in the body, we know this is true. So let's talk a little bit about that, Bill, about how does it happen by accident, like maybe head injury, that a person ends up with hyperconnectivity? And then how can we do it on purpose?
Well, the hyperconnectivity, like you had just mentioned, that there has been so many people that have had a brain injury. Most brain injuries end up with a lower level of connectivity and performance.
That's, you know, true.
This is a small sliver of brain injuries that end up being savants or having hyperconnectivity. And those savants could be something like they had an accident and now they can play the piano. They had some sort of injury, and now that they had that, they can now draw the entire skyline, you know, in detail, or do mathematics. They have incredible mathematical ability. This is one grouping of hyperconnectivity. Another grouping of hyperconnectivity is when some people have a Kundalini awakening. It drives so much voltage into the human brain and things become incredibly synchronized within the human brain, creating this hyperconnectivity. And I think it was Krishnam, I forget, Gopi Krishna, I think it was. He was one of the first people back in the 60s, I believe, that, and hopefully I didn't screw this name up, but were some of the first books that were produced on the phenomenon. And he found himself, you know, where he only had one language, All of a sudden, he could not only write, read, but he could do poetry in Aramaic or poetry in you know, any language. And all of these abilities were like just there. It wasn't like he studied. He was just, oh, I can, you know what? I can write Aramaic now and poetry at that. Very good poetry, mind you.
And you know, that super challenges all the ideas about how the brain learns. We think we have to learn a language, or we have to learn piano, or we have to learn the basics of math. But all of a sudden, somebody will have this change to their brain, and that's fully available. They know the math, they know the piano, they know the language, which in our current paradigm should not be possible. But it gives us an insider look at what really is possible. Is it then possible for a person to awaken that without the head injury? Draw that information from where? Is it the field? Is it their genetic memory? We know the genes can hold massive terabytes of information. And that information is available everywhere. So is it that the genes then are expressing that? And if so,
I think it's the DNA.
Yes. Well, that's what I mean, the DNA, the genes. And then so if that's true, then does the head injury allow the brain to then translate that information? Is it a translating issue? So we now are helping people do this without the head injury, create hyperconnectivity. So let's talk about how that becomes available.
This is so fascinating. You know, when we started this journey, Liz, together, how many, whatever, you know, been a decade now, I would have never thought that this was possible. We would be having this conversation today about super performance and hyperconnectivity in the brain. But really, when someone physically exercises their brain, and we know we can do this through the spinal cord and through the eyeballs, we can create changes in the actual brain itself. What happens is this hyperconnectivity, which ends up creating super intelligence. Creativity abounds. Information starts coming in from all kinds of sources and is able to be assembled by the human. And it's not like we're producing like just mathematical geniuses. These are whole humans. Their physical performance increases. Their meaning their athletic or abnormal abilities start to jump. Their ability to do math, to write, to problem solve, to have better relationships. Because you can imagine every resentment is a stuck thought. This is what it is, and this is how it happened, and they suck, and they got to pay. So now all of a sudden, with all this other connectivity, that it's like things make sense in different ways. You know, just this week, I just got to tell you about this. Just this week, it was 2 days ago, we were doing some advanced cognomovement with my mom. My mom is 86 or 87. Now, my mom, I won't go into a bunch of details, but just one thing was her driving. She, all of my life, you know, she would be in the slow lane driving 10 miles an hour slower or more in the slow lane than the speed limit. So it could be even a lot lower because she used to get really nervous and that sort of thing. Anyway, I see her after doing the exercise and she says, and by the way, I had no intention. There was no reason to talk about driving. She just brought it up like, hey, you know, I think that exercise did something to me yesterday. because I found myself on the freeway doing the speed limit. And I was like, and it felt exactly like when I was doing 10 miles an hour or less on the freeway. She says, oh, it's just natural. I'm doing the speed limit. And she was just following along with traffic. And it, she said it felt like nothing. This is a, you know, obviously very small example, but it's what we're talking about. It's the hyperconnectivity.
And it's a brain that is, you know, I think your mom's actually closer to 88, Bill, because last year she told me she was 87 when I visited her.
Oh, okay.
So I think she's closer, but even more impressive that a brain at 88 can now have an expanded learning, just all of a sudden obtain a new skill without trying. And driving is a very, very complex skill. Most people at 88, their driver's license are being pulled because they don't have the coordination, the hand-eye coordination. They don't have the reflexes. And what we know is they don't have the peripheral vision to drive. But now your mom, instead of her driving getting worse at 88, it just got better, yes, which is amazing. I'll tell a little savant story of my own. I don't math. I've never mathed. I could learn the math to pass the test, but then immediately forgot it. Like, numbers and I are not friends. And I'm not interested in math. I don't have to math, right? So, you know, I use our work for lots of other creative things. I like to expand my brain in other ways. Well, you know, I don't know when you'll be listening to this, but there was a few weeks in August and September where the lotto was up to over $1 billion. And my husband was talking about, you know, if you got that kind of money, what would you do with it? Would you take, in the United States, you have a possibility to take half in cash or get the full amount over 20-year period. But you can't take the full amount, and you can't take the full amount. You've got to do it either 20 years or half. So he was trying to figure out, if you took the annuity, what the amount you would get per year. And all of a sudden, I mathed that out. I figured it out. And he looks at me and he's like, you realize you just mathed in real time. That was impressive. I'm like, dang, I wish I had it on camera. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my brain could figure that out. And it totally made sense to me, right? Not a skill I was working on, but a skill that snuck in. Anyway, this is the same thing as all of a sudden having a psychic ability or all of a sudden being able to heal someone, right? Yeah. It's really not different. These are things that we're able to do that are available in our bodies and fields and nervous systems that all of a sudden just come online. My brain all of a sudden knew how to translate those numbers where it couldn't before. So we're right at the end of this episode, Bill. Let's just give people, we've got 2 minutes. What are some things that they can start to do today if they have had a spiritual awakening and feel like it really sent their life in a spiral?
Well, first of all, we feel you. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. You're not alone. You're not alone. Okay. First thing is get yourself connected. Take your shoes off and walk on the beach or on the earth. You need to connect. Get into your physical body. Your physical body is your vehicle here on the planet. So that's the first thing. This alone will help. The next thing is begin to roll your eyes. That sounds like an awful strange thing. What do I mean by roll your eyes? What I mean is your head is straight and level, and you roll your eyes very, very slowly around, all the way around your head. You look across the ceiling, down one wall, across the floor in your lap, and up the other side. keep rolling your eyes. As you roll your eyes, whatever story's going on with you, I feel this, I feel that. Just verbalize it as you roll your eyes. The value of doing this is that you're going to begin to integrate your experience into the different parts of your brain and your nervous system. It's very simple, but you're going to find that it's going to help this transition you're going through.
Yeah, I would say that all of that is absolutely great advice. The last piece of advice I'll give on this is reframe it. Reframe and understand that you're just learning through. It's just a new skill. See how it works in your life. And, don't do anything drastic during that period. Just learn, integrate, and incorporate. All right, everybody, thanks for being here with us. And until next week, be safe and be well.